Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hello and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and boy, George, have we got a great show for you today. wait, Kevin. It's Lady Be Good Good. It's you're a good man, Charlie Brown Good. Good news good. Good vibrations good. You can stop me whenever you want.
I was going to say, it was like progressively getting worse.
So joining us today is the usual crew of Lost Boys and Girls, including Kevin, the sassiest guy I know, Jager.
Hey! That was my sassy entrance.
That was pretty sassy.
Thanks.
Kimberly Cooper, our game master, trivia machine, and mostly unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Hello, everyone.
Thanks, Kimberly.
And of course...
You're welcome. Stay safe.
Stay safe. And of course, with us today is a guest who is an incredibly talented upcoming composer and lyricist. His debut album, Where the Sky Ends, should be owned by all of you ASAP. Let's give a big Mariah Carey fan club president welcome to Michael Mott.
Michael Mott! Hey! Cheers!
Cheers!
Cheers! Oh, cheers.
Wait, we peaked. Let me turn this down. Hi.
How you doing?
Mariah Carey welcome. I love it.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
What's your favorite Mariah Carey song?
I was just listening to I'll Be Loving You a Long Time on the way here.
Great.
No one knows that one. It wasn't a hit.
But you know it, so it doesn't matter.
No, it's track 8 on E equals X squared.
Yeah. It's the Merrily We Roll Along of Mariah Carey songs.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
If you want to.
Because it goes backwards?
But she...
Because it goes backwards.
Mariah can do what she wants.
I always listen to that song and rewind. I'm like, yes.
So, just so we can get this out done up front, you can find Michael on Twitter and Instagram at Michael_Mott, and his website is michaelmott.net, and on his Snapchat is Mott Michael.
You did your homework.
Do I look like someone who doesn't do their homework?
That pleasure.
I think when
don't
you
worry.
Have a whiskey and a sippy cup, you don't look like somebody who does their homework.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm drinking juicy juice.
Hey, Kevin, what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
Tivana.
So, Kevin, what are you drinking?
I am drinking Maker's Mark out of a sippy cup.
Out of a Tivana.
Because I'm an adult.
I am drinking a Manhattan out of a Spring Awakening sippy cup. Michael?
I'm drinking some Jerry Mitchell juice out of this Kinky Boots. I don't know what this is.
It's good. And Kimberly?
I'm drinking gin and Fresca.
Yes.
Just for fun.
What are you drinking it out of?
This is a magic bullet to go cup.
Listen, we have very expensive equipment around us.
Resourceful.
We're resourceful.
Things I found in my cupboard.
I'm putting the cap on.
Yeah, put the cap on.
Lock it up. Kimberly actually asked me today when I was going to get her alcohol, I could either get gin and tonic or Fresca if I was feeling frisky.
The thought behind it was I didn't feel like cutting limes. But I like really need the lime in my gin and tonic.
Okay.
But if you tell me to get something if I'm feeling frisky, I'm going to get the frisky option. Like I think that's
why I phrased it that way.
Why would you not?
I was like, Kevin, I'll do it.
So while we're feeling frisky, Michael, we have a game for you up front.
Let's play a game.
Game.
Are you excited?
I'm so excited. Are you kidding?
Note, everyone, he actually looks excited.
No, I am. I'm smiling. I'm grinning from ear to ear. Is there a video camera in here?
No.
Okay, good. So then it's not being brought. No one's live streaming this.
We're going to play word association with
okay.
you. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
So you know how word association works?
I think so, but explain it to me so I don't make a fool
sure.
of myself.
So for actually, Kimberly is our game master. Okay. Go explain word association.
Oh, that's
to
true.
Us.
Brian's going to say a word. You say a word, like, immediately.
The like first any word?
Any word that comes to your head because of the word that Brian says.
Okay.
No judgments, no thoughts.
And after your answer for each word, we drink.
Okay.
Oh, I like it.
Let me open the cap.
Sippy cup
all
off.
Right. You ready?
Ready to drink.
Yes. Ready?
Yes.
Belting.
Patti LuPone.
Ooh.
Yes. Oh,
I'll drink, to that.
Delightful.
That I didn't say Elaine. I said Patty.
Yes, you
I
did.
Know, I just, I, sorry.
Piano.
Man.
Oh,
Billy Joel.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Ooh. Dumb and Dumber.
Jim Carrey. Oh. These are not words. These are people. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's the first thing that comes to your head. It doesn't
okay,
matter.
Okay, okay.
What's your favorite line from Dumb and Dumber?
Harry, I took care of it. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. That's okay. Very
Mine
good.
Is, tractor beam sucks you right in.
Samsonite, I was way off.
I like Pretty Birdie.
All right. Shenanigans.
Sorry, I was thinking of another quote from Dumb and Dumber, actually. And what I wanted to say was, where the beer flows like wine. Yeah.
That's shenanigan.
That's a shenanigan.
Okay, good.
We'll go
it
with
is,
that.
It is.
Full.
House.
Oh.
Oh, not fuller house.
Or fully.
Curious George.
Life.
So, Michael, I know this. I curate my word association.
You do your home. You do your work.
Yeah.
This is, guys.
Just like the Skylar sisters, I work.
With an E, everyone. Yeah, with an E.
So, you were in Curious George Live, correct?
You know, every single word that you picked was pertained to my life.
Yeah,
and
this
I got
is an
it.
Interview.
No, but you're...
no, am I doing this wrong?
I know it's an interview. I know it's an interview, but what I'm saying is that you did your homework, and like I appreciate that every single word was very specific to me.
Yeah, we're into specificity here in Broadwasted.
That was a big word for Broadwasted, specificity.
No. Let me tell the listeners that these three fine people get you drunk before the show starts. I had two bourbon on the rocks before
Vicky
it started.
Downstairs.
And here I am. Vicky Downstairs.
That
could be an episode name, Vicky Downstairs. Can we call this episode Vicky Downstairs?
You should write a music called Vicky Downstairs.
I already did.
Shout out to Vicky Downstairs.
Yeah, we're collaborating on it together.
Yeah, we're working on it right now.
Yeah, that's by Kevin Jägermeister and Michael Mott.
Jägermeister.
Vicky Downstairs.
That's my new stage name.
I love it. It's your drag name.
Yes.
So next up, we have magic.
Oh, where's... Okay. We got magic to do.
Oh, no, that was
just
your
for
word.
You.
That was your word.
Oh,
yes,
that's
that
the word.
No, but you said
Ben Vereen, Stephen Schwartz, Pippin.
Gave it. Great. He gave it.
The Sopranos.
Oh.
Auto-tune.
Not used on Where the Sky Ends.
Oh. Oh.
And then finally, this may be a bit of a reach because we want to talk about it, Tony Awards.
I can't wait.
You can't wait.
No, June.
Just you wait.
There are a few days after my birthday, the Tony Awards, always.
Oh, really?
It's like a great birthday surprise.
Your birthday?
So can I ask you a question about the Tony Awards?
Yeah, like I have been once, but yeah.
You went?
I went.
With friend of the show, Jeremy Jordan?
Friend of the show. Yeah.
So my question for you about the
when
Tony
Awards. When he lost?
Do
you
have to drink every time
you
say
the
friend
year he
of
lost?
The show?
I went the year Jeremy lost. I actually wrote a song about it.
About the year he lost? What's the song called?
The song is called Lucky. It's on YouTube.
Oh, really?
It's Jeremy Jordan and I singing. And
he's so lucky he's a star?
He's so lucky. Yes, actually, it's a...
Hashtag Britney?
There's a guest appearance by Britney Spears in The Bridge.
Britney.
You know, I wrote a song where Jeremy makes fun of me, and so I give him love back, and I talk about how he lost the Tony.
Mm.
It's amazing.
And I should do a shout out to Steve Kazee.
Oh, right.
Yes.
That was a really fun Tony's year, actually.
It was.
A lot of stuff going on. What do you think is going to be the biggest upset this year? Is there going to be a category with an upset? And would you consider an upset?
I don't know why, but in my mind, the first thing... Well, first of all, we all know that Hamilton is going to win.
He's going to win everything.
Like, come on.
But that's why I asked, what is your upset in your mind?
Well, in my mind, I would hate to be any other show this year because I feel like every single show is like, oh, God, we had to open this year.
It's a really interesting year because... You see all these shows on Broadway, and some of them are excellent.
But that's the great thing right now, that we have like a plethora of good things on Broadway, but we do have like this behemoth that is Hamilton.
Yeah.
That I think it's really just going to be, this year's award ceremony is really going to be seeing like what other shows can kind of garner wins against like this juggernaut.
Well, what do you think is going to garner a win, Kimberly?
I think it's really going to come down to the acting nominations, honestly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm worried that Lynn and Leslie are going to split the vote among Tony voters, and then Danny Burstein's going to come in swinging with his Tavia that Brian's obsessed with.
Oh, I'm obsessed
with it. I haven't seen it yet.
Plus, she's on his sixth nomination, and that seems to be like a like a buzzword for like the Tony Vozers?
Because that's
like,
when Audra
like
won.
Sixth?
Yeah.
Sixth.
Like your Winthrop.
Yep, exactly. Sixth nomination.
Well, do you think Danny's going to win?
Yeah, and in that same vein, in the Best Actress category,
Cynthia,
I know a lot of people who are, but then come back with though, but Philippa is really the heart of Hamilton.
Interesting.
Which is interesting, but like story-wise, like, yes, she's the heart of Hamilton, but like, acting-wise, Cynthia has more to do. And we just saw it yesterday, so I'm biased.
So really? I think this is time
for... Oh my gosh, she killed
what
me.
Did you see this week?
What did you see this week? I love that all of our guests, like, option up. Yeah. You're going along the vein of
you
Miss
got
Latrina.
To.
I love it.
Unless you're...
Yeah.
Thank you.
So let's go around the table. Let's start with Kevin. Kevin, what did you see this week?
So I think we're all going to talk collectively about what we saw yesterday. So other than that, I had the pleasure of seeing Rubber Bridegroom, which we talked about last week.
We did, yeah.
And I agree with everyone that the show is incredible with the ensemble. The performances are amazing. It was a little bit rapey. But other than that, it was a really fantastic show.
I'm glad we got that second from last
week. Yeah, I concur with my second over here, Miss Kimberly.
How great was the direction, though? I thought the direction
fantastic.
Was amazing.
They did an amazing, it was just like, pared down in all the right ways.
Yeah.
And I was there on a night where Stephen Pasquale actually broke on stage and laughed for like
Kevin,
3 minutes.
Kevin, I'm going to hurt you.
I think
he does that every
show. He does that every show. Because I turned to my friend and I was
I
like,
felt
wait,
special.
Is this Saturday Night Live? Why is he laughing?
I did it too.
And then he was like, oh no, this happens every show.
Oh no, I totally tweeted about it being a Jimmy Fallon moment.
No.
And I was going to tweet you back, but I waited until right now to break your dream.
Thank you.
And Kevin, you also
thank you for breaking my dreams on air, Kimberly.
I love you so much.
And then I saw Baby at Theater Row. And Baby at Theater Row was incredible.
I love that space.
And that girl gave it. And like the ensemble was incredible. It was just, it was Equity Showcase. So it was just like a small 3-week run that was happening. Yeah. It was really, really awesome. Madison Stratton was in it and she was incredible. It was just a really great show. It was a really great representation of some beautiful music.
Michael, what did you see this week?
I actually saw, not this week, but recently.
Yeah,
I saw.
No, you can't use it.
Can I tell you, though? I have one. I have two. I have a Broadway show and a very non-Broadway show.
Yeah. Let's start with the non-Broadway show.
I saw an incredible production of Into the Woods.
Really? Where?
At a high school, at LaGuardia High School.
Oh, I had two friends who saw that.
Who? Who saw it?
Who saw it.
They were not in it.
They were
not
friends with high
schoolers.
But they saw it, and they said it was incredible.
Well, I was sitting in a section with, first of all, Janine Tesori's daughter was in it, and she was giving me Broadway production contract acting.
Who was she?
Yes.
Okay. She was Jack.
Can we cheers to that?
And I was like,
cheers to Broadway production
cheers. I was like, you're
going to
be in Fun Home any minute.
Cheers, yeah.
Janine Tesori's daughter.
Changing
you're going
to
be in
Joan.
She's changing her major to Joan.
No, she doesn't need to. She's ready.
She's already Joan. She's majored in Joan.
So what was
speaking of Joan?
What was it?
Oh, it is Joan.
It is. This is the first episode of Joan.
This is the Joan Broadway story.
Joan is busting out all over.
So my question for you, Happy June, everyone.
Happy June.
Happy Joan. From, I never thought that of this group, Brian would be the one who's like trying to keep people on track.
Also, we got the joke last.
It's true.
I did.
Yeah.
I'm really good at it.
I think Brian needs to take one more drink because I agree. He's way too on schedule.
He is.
That's true. That is my job as babysitter to keep you on schedule.
I'm just trying to make moves, yo.
I'm sorry, that's a really weird one.
So you loved it. What was great about it?
I loved it because those kids had so much passion. And I got to say, I'm fortunate enough to see a lot of Broadway shows, and sometimes I feel like those people up there would rather be doing laundry than being on stage, in the ensemble.
Uh-huh.
And I was so appreciative of the children putting 1,000% of their heart and soul into the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? Those kids couldn't be anywhere else. And every single one of them, I don't know if you've ever seen a show at LaGuardia.
I haven't, no.
You must.
Okay.
Go. They have a full 15-piece, or maybe actually it was a 12-piece
they have
orchestra.
A what? 15-piece?
They have a full 12-piece orchestra. A full 12-piece orchestra. And the kids are putting 1,000% passion into the show.
That's really cool.
And I mean, Into the Woods has one of my best lyrics, my favorite lyrics ever.
You wrote it? Your best
lyric? My best work, you know? My best work is in Into the Woods. No, please. We can all only wish to have a percentage of
Seriously.
That talent, please. But Moments in the Woods. Come on.
Oh.
Can you sing it for us?
When she says, oh, wait, I gotta think. You gotta, hold on.
Okay.
When she says,
so let Michael
let the
think.
Moment go. But I'm That's ready. Totally what
yes,
you're thinking, right?
Yes. Yeah. Let the moment go. Don't forget it for a moment, though. It's just brilliant. Remembering you had an end when you're back to or. Makes the or mean more than it did before. Now I understand. That's what it is. NBC.
Yeah.
And I just changed keys. And it's time to leave the woods.
It's Syntax the Musical.
And then she gets crushed by a giant.
And then she does. And I just changed keys.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert for anyone out there who has not seen Act 2.
Oh, there's a hole in my cup.
Are there people who are listening to our
there's
show?
There's a hole in his cup. There's a hole in my cup, and now my pants are wet. Look like I pee my pants. Don't worry. Don't worry. I didn't get on the
We're
mic.
Lucky this is a podcast.
The engineer was like, sorry. It's just on my pants, not on your microphone. Don't worry.
Kimberly, what did you see
hashtag
this week?
Just on my pants.
Oh, you saw Bright Star, you said.
Oh, I saw Bright Star. Oh, I had a friend, Hannah Ellis, in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Hannah is amazing. If you guys don't know her, you need to check her out. Hannah Ellis. Sure. She is phenomenal in the show. She's hilarious.
Has anyone else seen Bright Star in here? I saw it.
Yeah.
I thought it was delightful.
I
thought it was so charming.
Loved every second of it.
Yeah.
So I'll quote my sister. My sister, I brought up last week, but I'll bring up again. She went to see it. I saw it too, but I saw it separately from her. Not a detail you needed to know. But she saw it and she said, this is not my style of musical. This is not my style of music.
Right.
The music started and I was like, oh no, what am I getting into? And then she was like, I would see it 3 or 4 more times.
Really?
I mean, it's delightful.
I loved it.
I really liked it a lot. I mean, I thought like, oh, I had issues with, I don't know, I had ideas about things.
Yeah, of course.
But I really, truly loved it. And I thought the book was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I thought the music was so, I walked out of there. First of all, wait, can we talk about Carmen Cusack?
Oh.
She is a national treasure.
National treasure. How was that her first time on Broadway?
I don't know, but she's incredible.
Wait, really?
That's her Broadway debut.
I thought she was just like an ensemble member.
No.
No.
She is one of the best performances I've seen in the theater. She's amazing.
Yes.
She's giving everything.
This is just one of those years where it's just stacked. Which is wonderful for the audiences and difficult for the acting community. But
this is a much stronger year for females than it is males.
I agree.
Would you agree, Michael?
I agree with that. I got to say, though, that like Leslie Odom Jr. is giving me all the feels.
Did you see Hamilton?
Yes.
How many times?
Once.
Kimberly, how many times did you see it?
I've seen it 3 times.
What?
I've seen it 3 times.
You saw it 3 times?
Well, I saw it once at the Public. And then when me and Jay got engaged, he surprised me with tickets.
Can you tell that story, Kimberly, quickly?
About me and Jay getting engaged?
Yeah.
Yeah,
just
please,
the Hamilton part?
Yeah.
Jay Schmidt, comedian extraordinaire.
Oh,
he'll actually, just a little...
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
He'll be on next week.
He'll be on next week. He's a comedian. Mm-hmm. He will be making fun and enjoying the Tonys with us.
Oh, that's fun.
Guys, we're going to be live tweeting the Tonys, playing drinking games, and then we're going to record right after they end, so... No promises so we'll at what level of drunk we are.
But what's good is we'll be recording like drunk. 3 minutes before the Tonys start, so we'll be sober for those 3 minutes.
Spoiler
like,
alert.
Introduce ourselves.
So Kimberly, tell your story.
Oh, so Jay took me to like our bench where we say we fell in love on the Brooklyn Promenade.
So carousel of you.
It was kind of carousel on a bench. but we loved each other. We didn't loved each other. Right. That was a terrible joke. Anyway,
okay.
Brian, cut that out. So he took me to this bench where we say we fell in love and we started falling in love with each other. We had ice cream there 3 years ago now. And he proposed and it was very sweet. We both don't really remember what he said because there were a lot of emotions going on clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly he didn't say very much. I just turned over and he was crying and he looked at me and was just like...
Because he loves you.
I know. And he looked at me and he goes... I had all these things to say, but I just can't do this without you.
Aww.
And then
he
handed me a box, and I opened it, and it was an acorn. If you know Peter Pan, you'll know that Peter gives Wendy an acorn to be the kiss, and then it saves her when Tinkerbell tries to shoot her down. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite thing, and I got really teary-eyed, and then he got down on one knee, and he had the actual ring while I was giggling about the acorn. No tears escaped the lids quite yet. And then we were just sitting on this bench after it happened, and we were just sort of like... And this weird, like, cool, we're doing this now. And I was like, so, like, what's the plan for the rest of the night? And he was like, oh, we have to head back up to Midtown because I have orchestra seats to Hamilton. And that's when I started to cry.
Cheers.
And he's very mad at me.
Cheers to that.
Cheers.
Kimberly, what's your cheers to? You get to choose.
Toast to the bride.
Oh. That was beautiful. Kevin, how many times have you seen Hamilton?
All right. This is the moment on the show, Broad Wasted, where I reach out to Lin-Manuel. Hi, Lin. This is Kevin Jaeger. And I have yet to see Hamilton. And Brian and Kimberly literally text me every day saying, hey, I saw Hamilton. Have you? And so if you would like to end this daily barrage of insults and misery, please send me Hamilton tickets.
Before July 9th.
Before July 9th.
That's his last show.
Or after Hamilton.
Yeah. Great. Well, I'm just saying.
You know what? I'm not going to be picky, though. I'm not going to be picky. I'm just going to take tickets whenever you can give them to me.
I read today they're up to 10 grand for that ninth show.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yes.
Is that worth it?
No.
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 Great. We agree. Okay. So we talked about Brightstar. Kimberly and I saw Tuck this past week.
Yes.
So we weren't closed.
We did.
What did you think, Kimberly?
Is it closed already?
Yeah, it closed last Sunday.
It was like 2 weeks.
I know. Oh, no. It's so sad. It is a tough season. That I think is like
it's a really hard season.
The money's going elsewhere.
The statement of the season is just like things that aren't perfect and have this crazy buzz about them just like aren't going to stick around.
Got it.
My thoughts on Tuck is that I had a great time for it being one of my favorite childhood stories and movies. I was not prepared for the amount of children in the audience for some reason.
Interesting.
I was like, this is my favorite children's show.
Are we having Tilda?
Why are so many kids here? And I was like, oh, it's a children's book.
Got it.
I had to remind myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
But it is a dark children's story because it's the book you give kids to teach them about death, basically. Because it's about these people that come and they're like, we can live forever. Do you want to? And the whole story is, should people live forever or should we accept sort of mortality? So it's a darker plot, but it was kind of Disney-fied. It was very colorful. It was very glossy. There were production numbers. There wasn't a lot of sort of like taking in what, like this like internal struggle of living forever. And so that was my main issue with it, is that it was just like, it was a little, not happy, because it is a happy.
Showy?
Maybe showy is the right
word.
You
slick.
Slick. Yeah. It was a little too polished. Here's what it is.
Yeah, sure.
They spent time on secondary characters that Brian loved, this one song that I didn't like.
I loved
Talk
it.
About it.
I loved the cop and his son song. I just like that like internal rhyme. Like
it's very punny.
Punny.
That's the cop and his daddy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You like puns, Brian? I think everyone who listens to this show will be shocked, especially from the opening. What?
I was speechless.
Why did everyone get silent?
I was looking at my words.
But Kimberly, can you talk about your favorite
part? I'm sorry,
I saw it with Kimberly.
Right there.
Yeah. I 100% agree with Kimberly.
I wish I saw it. I didn't see it.
It was good.
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, for the last 15 minutes, which like they're making this Golden Age musical, so they added in basically a dream ballet, but not a dream. And it was a life cycle ballet, I think is what you call it.
I love dream
it's like life once Winnie chooses to live and not live forever, like to have a normal life.
Spoiler alert.
It happens in the book. Everyone read the book in sixth grade.
It's not dream ballet happens in the book? I love that the two gay boys were like, there's a dream ballet in the book?
Agnes DeMille?
No.
Maybe I'll start reading them. So
it's not a spoiler alert because you can't see the show anymore.
It's not a spoiler because you can't see the show. But they did sort of a Winnie's life cycle as a ballet.
Is Winnie the lead?
Winnie is the lead. Yes. Okay. So she's 11.
It's a girl?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, who's the girl?
It was a little girl.
Yeah,
I thought the lead was Andrew Keenan Bulger.
He is.
Yes. He's one of the boys.
Oh, yes. I know nothing about the story.
He's
I'm
the
sorry.
One who can live forever.
That's okay.
And then she finds out. And so he's 17 forever. And she's 11 right now.
Got it.
And so, they age a little bit and then drink this and live with
married.
Us forever.
Talking
and she's
about
like, do I do that or not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's actually excellent.
It's like Hocus Pocus.
And she's wonderful.
It's exactly like Hocus Pocus.
Why is that not on Broadway?
What is happening?
Mark Shaman, you need to make Hocus Pocus. And I'm like the 100,000th person.
Plus, sure. You could also do an epic.
Winthrop is back. Can we cheers to that?
Cheers
to Winthrop.
Hocus Pocus.
Can we cheers to Gary, Indiana?
Gary, Indiana. Just for a quick moment, we're going to shout out to Sarah Charles Lewis, who played Winnie. She was fantastic.
Yes.
She was amazing.
You are so
Hashtag
quick.
Brian
you are
did
not
homework.
Drunk enough. You are not drunk enough.
Brian's just that good.
That is juicy juice. I'm telling you.
It is not. I watch his juice. Face every it's time he drinks it.
Yeah. It's the color of juicy.
We went to church last night.
We did. We went to church, kids.
Incredible.
We went and saw The Color Purple. But we actually at Broadwasted here had a Color Purple evening.
A full evening.
And it goes beyond just seeing the show. We had incredible tickets.
Sick.
That's amazing. The show is sick. So there's
Kevin is cut off. Yeah, we had amazing tickets to Broadway Sessions. If you haven't been to Broadway Sessions, it's at the Laurie Beachman Theater every Thursday night at 11 p.m. After you see a show or not see a show, go there. You can reserve tickets. It's basically open mics, games, and Broadway stars. We actually saw that night the ensemble of Color Purple, and God, those voices.
I have no more face anymore, kids. It was melted off, not just from the show, but after the show, seeing the ensemble members who are the unsung heroes of Color Purple.
And they were so warmed up from doing that full show together. Yeah. Like, that anytime they sang, it was just like, I don't understand why you're belching so high and it's the easiest thing you've ever done. And I've had T-Moon stuck in my head.
Oola, oola, oola. I was in that show, you guys.
Stop.
That was the second show I ever did. I was in the all-white cast. In upstate New York, where I'm from. And I was a storyteller, and I was like, I will not sing. I will only be in the ensemble. And they made me a storyteller.
So you did that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to like kill the conversation.
No, it's funny. I saw a junior version in Philadelphia that was also an all-white production, and
there's alternate lyrics.
We're gonna stop right now.
Wait, are they really?
It's time for Broadway Regrets.
Broadway Regrets.
Hashtag Broadway Regrets. Michael, for your knowledge and everyone who hasn't listened to us before,
tell me.
Broadway Regrets is when we lightning round, go around the table, and what we do is we name a show that we were able to see in terms of like being in New York and whatever, but couldn't see on Broadway. And the reason I bring it up is because my Broadway regrets for this episode is a Ragtime, also done by Aaronson Flaherty.
My favorite writing team by far.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, yeah.
The best. They are so under... Okay, sorry.
No, I agree.
But then also last night at Broadway Sessions, we saw Antoine Smith do Wheels of a Dream. And it was just...
I love Antoine Smith.
He was amazing.
Is he a friend of the show?
Yeah.
He recorded on my remix album.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love him.
He Instagrams that up.
He's incredible. That entire ensemble is incredible.
Hi, Antoine.
That whole concert was amazing.
Hi, Antoine. Kevin, you're up.
I think that my Broadway regret...
Elmer Fudd, ladies and gentlemen.
My Broadway regret.
I think... I'll say Tuck Everlasting because I'm always about a good dream ballet. Aww. And I really am sad that I didn't get to see a show with good dream
ballet. You should come with us. Just kidding. We didn't invite you.
You did not.
I'm going to start texting you asking if you saw Hamilton.
You should because it just really is not nice.
We'll get you in. He said with no authority at all. Kimberly, you're up.
Also influenced from last night, I'm going to say Aida.
Oh,
I could have seen it. And then last night I saw Heather Headley, and all I wanted to do was go home and binge listen to the Gods Love Nubia.
That's amazing.
Oh,
so good.
I wish I'd seen it.
Michael.
She's so good.
I'm always going to go with my gut reaction. First thing when you said that, I went to Secret Garden. One of my favorite scores ever.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, I love it too.
Beautiful.
I think Lily's Eyes is one of the best duets of all time.
Ever. Give it to me.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
Lily's Eyes.
Yeah.
And then that little flub on the CD.
What flub?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Mandy Patinkin comes in like a measure early.
Where? What song?
In Lily's Eyes.
No.
There's a point where he just goes, in Lily's Eyes.
Why didn't they just go to the mic and edit it? Or go to the...
Because no one tells
Mandy Patinkin he's wrong.
I love Mandy Patinkin.
Anyway, listen in. It's hilarious.
I love Mandy Patinkin.
That being said, let's get back to Color Purple.
Okay. Because he's in it.
Speaking
of Mandy Patinkin. So
hold on. What if?
I'll say this. What if?
Who would you cast Mandy Patinkin in Color Purple? That's what I want to know.
Steely.
No, he's... No.
I'm just kidding.
Sing it. Do your best Mandy Patinkin impression. Singing Steely.
No. Why do you guys make me make noises?
You just got to do just a lot of falsetto. I just did it.
Do it.
Lily's Eyes.
No, but singing Color Purple.
The Color Purple.
Yeah, yeah.
Still keeps the cold heart. Quite sad, but a body can't hold out.
Wait, that's actually really good.
Hashtag Kevin
cheers.
Wins.
Cheers to Kevin. Kevin, you get the cheers. What's your cheers to, Kevin?
Cheers to Mandy Patinkin.
So we saw it's Color Purple.
Yeah.
I have to say two things. The first is Cynthia Erivo. I've seen a lot of shows. I've seen a lot of performers in shows. I've never seen anything like what she did last night.
Wow.
She does that 8 times a week.
Also.
Yes?
We were a part of, I think it was me and Brian, I think Kevin too, our very first mid-show standing ovation.
Yeah, she got a mid-show.
After I'm here, literally no one thought twice. Everyone just stood up.
People stood up before the song ended.
Yes, because there's like, I'll just jump in for a second.
No, please.
In that song, so there's always people on stage watching the action in this production. And it sort of invites the audience in to also be a part of these intimate moments that the characters are feeling. And then this one song is really the only time where Cynthia is alone on stage. She takes up the whole stage. She walks around the whole thing. She touches every part of that stage. She uses her space. She takes her time. And then there's the moment at the end. She is downstage center and she is still. And we had tissues ready.
Oh, yeah.
And we all just
thanks, Lakrita.
Lost yeah. it. And then she... And it's like still and quiet. And then she just lets loose on the belting at the end. And like not a dry, like everyone was just like, I don't know what's happening. And then everyone stood up immediately.
I literally gay gasped like 12 times.
That honestly, should be your Instagram handle.
Gay gasped. Like that would be how I would rate a show is how many times you do that kind of... kind of feeling like
and when just
you,
faces of people going
yep like hands.
If there was a camera people yeah. would laugh at that
she, if she when oh, when true. Cynthia opened her mouth
yeah
more happened than what yeah. just
it was
happened
like,
right
it was, honestly it was like a monsoon hit you like
yeah
she's like a little foghorn. Everything she would open her mouth and I would start weeping.
No, it was really it was amazing. Like she could use her voice any way she needed to. Like she could pierce you with it. She could like lull you with it. It was really just a transformative performance.
And she didn't actually unleash until Act Two. So obviously her choices
she was holding it in.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah.
It was helped to aid that the narrative of the show.
Got it.
She was incredible. She deserves that Tony. That was something truly special. Hmm. And then, Kevin, can you talk about your love for Heather?
Heather's or Heather Headley?
Well, both.
Okay,
but Heather Headley is really, truly incredible. I think it's just – it was just unreal for me to watch her just because as a kid growing up in Florida, I lived off of cast albums.
Where in Florida?
Right outside Jacksonville in Ponte Vedra Beach.
Hi.
And she really just took me to a different place. And to watch somebody be so vulnerable in a role, especially a role that was just created by somebody as big of a talent as Jennifer Hudson, right. who left like definitely an indelible mark mm-hmm. on the production, to see somebody come into that and really make it her own was really incredible. And so shout out to Heather Headley. She Woo. Killed it. Somebody tweeted last night that Heather Headley winked at them and it cleared up their acne. And so I have to say that Heather Headley definitely has some special powers. I don't know if it's about acne, but definitely go see her.
That's hilarious.
Awesome. So go see Color Purple, everyone.
I need to. You're like the 15th people.
Definitely see it. Everyone in that cast is amazing, including the ensemble who we saw belt their faces off at Broadway Sessions.
But it was such a good night.
Yeah, but I just want to quickly pour one out for Tuck and American Psycho, who ends this Sunday.
That's
when you're,
true.
When you're listening to this, it will already be closed.
You will neither have seen
let's
these
pour
shows.
One out. Cheers and pour Cheers. One out.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUPS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUPSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
We have a game to play.
Woo! Game to play!
Game!
So, after seeing Tuck Everlasting and seeing that beautiful Dream Ballet, I dug into a little bit of the history of the Dream Ballet. It's usually accredited to Oklahoma in 1943. It has that beautiful 18-minute Dream Ballet at the end of the first act, Agnes DeMille, as we've said earlier.
Love me some Agnes.
Who I could also go on a tangent about how she has sort of revolutionized the storytelling of dance and musical theater through Allegro, because she was the first ever director choreographer. I did a whole thesis about Agnes DeMille during Allegro. There's like 25 pages. I can talk to you about it later. But basically, a dream ballet exists mainly for clarification, foreshadowing, and symbolism, and usually occurs outside the continuity of a production. Unlike Tuck, which was very much a continuation of the story, it's just sort of like, here's 15 minutes of 80 years of her life. So I have assigned these three gentlemen in the room a show that does not currently have a dream ballet, and they have to describe to us a dream ballet that should be in that show.
Oh, yeah.
They don't know what each other has. Nope. I've told them about it about a couple days ago, so they're going to go through it for you all. I have a prize for whoever wins.
Yes,
oh, prizes. Huzzah.
And we are going to start with, I'm just going to kind of go like this and point to Kevin.
Oh.
And Kevin has the musical Rent.
Oh! Right. So I had to come up with a spot to put a dream ballet in Rent. And Rent is a really fantastically structured show. So it was hard to find a spot to really squeeze one in. But what I decided to do for Rent was the song Contact, where they all kind of start to go for each other.
Oh.
Before Angel's death, I wanted to... I thought it would be nice, instead of that song, you put in the Dream Ballet where you see Collins taking care of Angel, but Angel actually rises above and then dances around where he reaches out to all the other people having problems. So you see, like, Maureen and Joanne having problems, but Angel dances in around them and they suddenly come together. And then you do, like, he dances near, like, Roger and Mimi having problems, and they come together. And then he dances around Mark, and Mark grabs his camera. I thought that would be, like, a really nice way to show them all coming together other than having, like, a really, like, in-your-face sex song. So that would be where I would put a dream ballet if I had to put a dream ballet in Rent.
That was wonderful! I'm going to go to Michael Mott next. And he has Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes.
Of course he does.
So Wild I felt Horn. Like you gave me that on purpose.
I heard Why, you Michael? Liked Wildhorn.
He's a mentor and a friend.
Of the show?
And not of the show. And actually a recent collaborator. We've been writing some pop songs together, which is exciting.
That's exciting.
For a singer in Turkey, which is also random. But all right, so I was given Bonnie and Clyde, and I thought, okay, I think I have a moment, but I don't really know what is happening to the two main characters. So I actually called Laura Osnes and I asked her.
Friend of the show?
Maybe. We'll see. I asked her what was happening in the moment. And she just, I saw, as we were walking into the studio, she left me a 3.5-minute voicemail.
Thanks, Laura.
I don't know if this is true, but I'm going to tell you what I think should happen.
So what you're telling me is that your dream ballet for Bonnie and Clyde is straight from the lips of Laura Osnes.
No, it's not. I didn't listen to the voicemail.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
That should not influence your vote, Kimberly. I'm just throwing that out there right now.
I will tell you, my eyes go big. Laura says so.
But there's a song in the show called What You Call a Dream. What You'd Call a Dream that Blanche sings. And Blanche is the sister... No, sorry. Buck is the brother of Clyde. And his fiancée, or wife, I don't remember, is Blanche. And she sings this whole song to him about how life will be fantastic, and that's what she'd call a dream. Well, I called Laura to ask her, where are Bonnie and Clyde in this moment in the show? Because what I think would be fantastic, and this is how, if I was writing the show, this is what I would do. If I had to put a dream ballet in, producer said, Michael, put a dream ballet in Bonnie and Clyde. I would say, okay, there's a song called What You Call a Dream, which is beautiful, and it's just lovely. And I thought, what if, because we always want the action to be moving forward, Blanche is singing to Buck, and she ends up being the narrator for what Bonnie and Clyde are doing. So at the moment in the show, I feel like Bonnie and Clyde are about to go see, because the next song on the album is What Was Always Good Enough. And so what I think is happening is they're about to go see their parents. And so what if Blanche is narrating how life could be, and we see Bonnie and Clyde dancing to, like, show their parents of how life could be, like, what was always good enough for you guys. And Don Black would have to change the lyrics, but it would be a moment where we see them portraying what life could be, and then the next scene is actually their parents rejecting them.
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Oh. All right, Brian. Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde. So, after Emmett comes in and backs Elle to become Brooke's lawyer, he defends her for the murder of the husband. Elle, I wrote this down. Elle, because of how I roll. Elle realizes that the dead guy's lawyer couldn't have been in the shower because her perm would have been spoiler alert. Perm would have been undone. I actually wrote spoiler alert on my notes. So essentially, they reconvene in the bathroom, and that's all that, and they figure that out.
Right.
However, my dream ballet comes into play, the transition between those two scenes.
Okay.
I call it Elle's Mind Palace, Ballet of the Crime.
Were we supposed to give names?
No.
No.
I've gone above and beyond. We flash back to a young Elle dancing with her mother, learning to bend and snap, hair lessons, all of these things, learning to put on makeup. And we hear, poor Elle, run from perm. And that is obviously
is that like
King and I.
Yeah. Yes. Run from Simon.
Yeah. That's run right. from perm. Run from perm. And she's learning to bend and snap, and she grows up with her friends, and we hear, little Harvard schoolgirl, little Harvard schoolgirl. And all the friends have perm wigs, and they come out, and they warn, they like, don't, look out for that perm. Look out for that perm. And then the dog enters with a perm, and then evil students come through, and it's like a Judd from Oklahoma, because they're just like, and you know, oh, I'm going to get you, and they try to attack her. And they taunt her, and then it's terrible.
I can't stop laughing.
And then they go over a river of fabric made of shower curtain, and she's trying to escape. And then all of a sudden, Emmett jumps in as a bottle of Pantene Pro-V, and she can only float on the river on this bottle of Pantene
what?
Pro-V. And then her friends from the beauty shop come in Irish kilts, and they're jumping rope, and they do this whole, like... you know, Michael Flatley number because there's an Ireland song. And then the evil perms come to try and get her, but they all drown in dandruff in the river. And they just like, you
dandruff.
Know. Yeah. And the
how do you make a dandruff
little
river?
Perm.
That's
and impressive. It's all a whirlwind of hair.
Not a shower curtain, he said.
Yeah, it's a shower curtain river. And then she realizes that she can have it all. She can get across the river and have it all.
So we were supposed to be funny with these.
No, not necessarily. But
I
that's
went
how
literal.
I that's how I went. And so it ends with them in the bathroom and the judge being like, "We're here." She's sitting on the toilet. It's hilarious. And then she shows everyone, and that's her like realizing like what her true dream is.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
That was a conglomerate.
Well, first of all, my cheeks hurt from laughter from that Legally Blonde.
That's everything.
And I have enough prizes that I'm going to give you all a prize. I am going to give Brian, first prize for preparation.
What?
Only because
that's it. For that's it. I don't
because
win.
You wrote it down.
A for effort. Oh. No, because you wrote it down and you had a lot to say. Also, you went through each and every moment of that dream ballet.
He choreographed the ballet. I didn't know he was a
choreographed it.
At the ballet.
Ballet.
And he stole another show. There was an allusion to King and I. So Brian gets the souvenir program. To She Loves Me.
Oh!
I love
great
this show.
Production.
Is
great
in love
production.
With Laura Benanti.
Go see it.
Benanti.
You love Laura Benanti? Benanti?
She's wonderful. The ensemble's wonderful.
What is my
Michael gets the souvenir program to Fiddler on the Roof.
Go see it. Everyone see Fiddler.
Now I don't have to see it because I have the program.
The program. It has all the pictures.
It has the songs.
I love it.
Kevin
gets the souvenir program to Waitress.
Yay!
Yes.
Yes. Sarah Bareilles is my spirit animal.
I love
this
her.
Is amazing. She's my everything.
I love Sarah.
But the new Waitress album just came out, and it's actually really fantastic.
Yeah.
Cool. You guys want to play another game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Game time!
Game master babysitter coming
she's
in to play.
Super babysitter.
Super babysitter.
She's
going
to tuck us in soon. Huh? Tuck us everlasting in soon.
I see you did there.
Oh, tuck you. Oh, I get it.
Sorry.
We're going to play a game called Cast That Movie.
Cast That Movie.
Cast That Movie.
In which we cast a fictional musical movie.
Oh, it's
movie
a movie?
That hasn't happened yet.
I thought it was a musical.
No,
it is.
This is perfect. It is a musical, of course.
I didn't
But
do
it
this
is
right.
for the movie.
I failed.
Because in the light of the news of Jake Gyllenhaal taking on the role of George in Sunday in the Park with George at City Center next fall, which sold out in 40 minutes.
Wow.
I know.
Without anyone else cast.
Who does he think he is, Beyonce?
Well, the gala tickets are still on sale with the dinner and everything. Anyway, we're casting the movie of Sunday in the Park with George, which is we are casting George and Dot and the soldier and the Celestes and the old lady.
Perfect.
Who in the production was Grams from Dawson's Creek?
Yes.
Yep.
Which was, anyway, so if you don't know Sunday in the Park with George, it is my favorite musical. So don't mess up.
Oh, no. I didn't know it at all, to be honest.
Which is totally understandable.
I listened to it all day yesterday.
It's beautiful.
Then are you obsessed yet?
I think it's a show I need to see because I was like, what's going on?
That's very true.
I was so like, red, 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 red.
So it's what's inspired by the painting Sunday in the Island of the Grand Shot by George Seurat.
Right, of course.
Yes. So it's based on that painting. So the first act is all about how focused he is on creating that painting and then having all the people in that painting. And then the second act is him in present day / now the 80s. Being a contemporary artist with some sort of light machine about Sunday in the Park with and he goes back to so it's George's grandson in the second act, and he goes back to whatever. Okay. Yeah. And then, so basically the conceit here is that they are agents pitching me their actors, and then I get to cast the show. Also, I'm just going to point out right here that Brian is bouncing in his chair because he has to pee so bad.
He's not allowed to break the seal on Broad-Waisted here.
No. But Michael
Hashtag Cole. Don't break the seal.
Well, I cast the Broadway version of the show.
That's fine.
I didn't cast the
movie
version.
And I'm excited. It's my favorite show. I appreciate the singing.
I really need George to be played by Leslie Odom Jr.
I didn't expect this, and I love it.
I know. I'm giving you, I think that Leslie Odom Jr. would kill it. I think Dot should either be, I can't choose between Sierra Bagas or Laura Benanti.
Ooh.
I know Brian would choose Laura Benanti, but I represent both. So Sierra, okay. I think Sierra would be a fierce Dot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who the old lady should be because I don't represent old people. but the soldier could either be Stephen Pasquale or Josh Young. Or Norm Lewis. I represent all of them. So you can pick.
Wonderful.
And the twins are Daisy and Violet.
Oh. Perf.
So I'm up.
Clearly. Go.
Okay. So we're doing the movie, right?
Yep.
So I want Michael Fassbender as George.
Ah, you stole my George!
Wait, really?
You stole my George!
There's always Jake Gyllenhaal.
I think I'll do it real
no
quick.
I want Claire Danes as Dot. I think she could play older and younger.
Can she sing?
It doesn't matter in the movie.
We're going for the movies.
I read the email wrong. I swore it said the musical. I was like, well, can she find dough? Okay, so.
Okay. It is the musical movie.
So as my old lady, I'm going Bernadette Peters.
Oh, okay.
You got to have that throwback.
Shade.
You got to have that throwback.
I like that. That was shade. Interesting.
My shoulder is Aaron Tveit. My shoulder.
Your shoulder?
You stole my soldier too! Oh, I hate you!
But I'm going with Rachel Bloom.
Oh!
I'm going with Anna Faris.
Oh.
Okay.
For the Celestes.
Okay.
Wonderful choices, Kevin.
Great. So I'm flying by the seat of my pants because Brian stole some of mine. So for George, in a movie, I'm honestly going to pick Paul Giamatti. Paul Giamatti is incredible.
What about Paul Giamatti?
Or Alexander Gemignani.
Oh.
Whoa.
Okay.
He was in the revival as the boatman.
I'm going to go with what I said.
Great.
For my Dot, I went with Sarah Ramirez.
Oh.
I think she would really bring the layers, and plus I think she would give that kind of like...
I think that you won that.
Yeah, intense,
that's everything.
Fullness. I think that for my old lady, I said Shirley MacLaine. Because I think you bring in like an old Hollywood to make it legitimate.
Right, yeah, understandable.
So I originally was going to go, Brian stole my soldier, so I'm going to go with my secondary soldier, which was Mr. Jeremy Jordan, friend of the show. I think Jeremy would be a wonderful soldier in the show. And then for my Celestes, I said that we should pull from the excitement of Pitch Perfect and do Anna Kendrick and Brittany Snow as the two Celestes.
Kevin!
I was super excited about this!
It's coming out!
You did a good job. All right. I still stand firm with Leslie Odom Jr. as Jacob.
All right, Kimberly, what are we
doing? Okay.
But I am, first of all, I've forgotten a few of the people you've said.
Okay,
but I'm going to say that Leslie wins George.
Okay.
Okay, she's going to Sarah Ramirez.
Okay,
so
okay.
Sorry.
It's great. Totally fine. So I'll make a 10% from Leslie.
So yeah, two. So Kevin's one, Michael's one.
Who was your soldier?
Josh Young, Zachary Levi, or Stephen Pasquale. I represent all three.
No, you can't. You know, you chose someone.
He's
else.
The guest. He can have three. It's fine.
I'm the guest. Bye.
I'm going to give the soldier to Jeremy Jordan.
Hey!
He wouldn't do it.
Only, honestly, it'll be the easiest day's work if it's a movie.
He wouldn't do it.
Because it is
he wouldn't
one
do it.
Song.
You guys,
it
is a fantasy
scene.
Movie.
Right. And he could actually sing it. Whatever.
I have to raise it a little bit.
Mr. Kevin Jaeger, I'm going to give the Celestes to you.
Yeah! Who is the old lady? Who got the old lady?
Oh, also Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah!
No, that was great.
Kevin almost swept.
I pulled a Hamilton, y'all.
He did.
I just pulled a Hamilton.
It's
on
this okay, I'll be some
and so he gets the souvenir program to Bright Star.
Hey! Woo!
Can we trade programs?
Sure.
Yeah,
you can do
sure.
trade.
Okay, great. I'll put it on eBay.
Wonderful.
So, Michael, before we get to our last and final game, before we get to our last and final game, I want to ask you a couple questions about things and stuff.
Ask me questions.
So, you started as an actor, right?
Correct.
Yes. And you had a successful regional career. You did Fireside. You did Arizona Broadway Theater, correct?
Yes.
Glimmerglass, Merry-Go-Round.
Yes.
But tell us about your transition into writing.
So, I was doing 9 to 5 at the Fireside Theater, and I realized that I was not as fulfilled as I could be, and I felt like I held the power within me to create something, and I wanted to make the decisions, basically, and I wanted to be more creatively satisfied, more creatively fulfilled, so I decided that I was going to write, and I was going to use my talent to fulfill myself.
Now, did your writing experience start out as an idea to write a show, or was it an idea to write like songs that then became a show, or how was that for you?
I went to the New York State Summer School of the Arts in 2001.
Okay.
And I was required to write a 10-minute play by the end of the summer.
He's still
and
working on it.
No. And so wonderful. I decided to write a 10-minute musical called The Life of a Mob Wife. And from there, I decided to write this musical about it's basically The Sopranos meets Noises Off. Fast forward to now, I got a real book writer.
That's great.
I've changed everything, but it's still the seed of the idea I had when I was 16.
That's really exciting.
But you know what? Everyone thinks that stupid show is Mob Wife, based on the Mob Wives TV show. So I have to change the title.
I have a more important question. What's your favorite kind of soup?
Soup?
Yeah.
Well, my last name is Mott, so people think that I make applesauce or apple juice. So
not a soup, but keep going.
Well, I was going to transition into applesauce. But I really like...
Which is still not a soup.
It's not, but when you're trying to lose weight and you drink some apple, you eat some applesauce, it's true.
Pork chops and applesauce.
I'm not answering your question.
At all?
You're going. I think it's Progresso. Is that a
soup? That's a brand of soup.
But it's the low-fat chicken noodle that I eat sometimes.
Oh, fine. Actually delicious.
Actually.
What's your favorite musical of all time?
Ragtime.
What is your favorite experience seeing a show?
The first thing that comes to my mind is this high school production of Into the Woods. I was so blown away by it.
Really?
Those kids gave so much, I can't even tell you.
What are your inspirations, composer and show?
I got into theater because, I know it's not the popular thing to say, but I got into theater because of Frank Wildhorn and Jekyll and Hyde.
Okay.
Because I always listened to Top 40 Radio.
Linda
Eder. But I listened to Top 40 Radio and Mariah Carey. That was Billy Joel. Mariah Carey was my biggest inspirations growing up. But then I heard This Is the Moment, and I was like, wait a minute, this is like a theatrical version of a pop song. What is this? And then I got into Jekyll and Hyde. I listened to it. That introduced me to the world of musical theater. And
cool.
Those are my inspirations. But I love Mark Shaiman and Aaron Zaffirelli.
Well, I want to say one thing. We also love musical theater.
If you couldn't tell.
And oh, really? I didn't know where I was.
We have our favorite moment of the podcast.
Tell me.
Which is the lightning round of Lights of Broadway.
Lights of Broadway!
Lights of Broadway!
If you don't,
that means, what's that mean?
If you don't know Lights of Broadway...
They say the neon light... Wait, is that
keep going. Yeah, yeah.
On Broadway.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, that's probably where they got the name.
Oh.
Oh, potentially.
Wait, explain to me what this is.
So Lights
this
of Broadway... Kimberly's going to got
what this. What I hold in my hand...
Okay.
...is a Lights of Broadway. This is what the... what the crunchy noisy was.
Wait, these are you can actually buy these?
Yeah,
these
yeah,
are
yeah.
Broadway where? Trading cards.
What is it called? You can theater, buy. What's it called, Kimberly?
Light Catchers?
Where you got them? No, where you got
oh,
them?
Oh, Theater Circle.
Theater Circle with our favorite friend.
Oh, Mr. Justin.
Shout out to Justin.
He
Justin
has a full size. He's amazing.
He's our dealer. He's our Lights of Broadway dealer.
Justin who? Who's his name? What's his name?
He's just the guy who works there.
Justin Lights of Broadway? Justin at lightsofbroadway.com.
Amazing. Anyways,
that's his email.
So Michael's opening them and we're going to go
open
through.
These?
Yeah, open yeah. them and we want your reactions. We'll ask you questions about each one you
I
open.
Love this game. I can't open yeah. these.
They're actually really hard. Lucrita got them so
Hashtag why I'm single.
Can we toast to that?
Cheers. All right, Michael, you ready?
Yes.
Santino Fontana.
Wait, what do I have to
you
do?
You have to say like, a show you would dream to see. Like,
what do you want to see Santino in?
Oh, I saw him in Cinderella. I would love to see him in Follies.
Oh.
Good choice.
Oh, that's Thank good.
You. Gwen Verdon.
Didn't see her in anything. Would love to see, would love to see her on Leg Up on SNL.
Oh, If Then.
I would love to see If Then in just, Boston. Just, what, I'd love to go to the tour and see it in Boston.
Ooh, Angel Lee Ashford.
Anna Lee
Ashford.
Brian doesn't know who you are, friend of the show. I know who you are. Angelina Ashford.
Angelina Ashford.
Angelina
I would
Ashley.
Love to see her in, actually she'd be hilarious in My Musical Mob Wife.
Oh, okay. And then with Michael Mock. Played it with him.
Brian Yorkey, who
Brian
wrote...
Brian Yorkey, lyricist.
Yeah.
Next to Normal, If Then.
Aaron Tveit.
What would I like him to write?
Yeah, sure.
He can write...
What's your favorite book, and how could he write that?
Does he also write books?
Like, what book could you read? Like, a book what? That could be turned into a musical.
Yeah.
Oh, how about Brian Yorkey could write the book to...
Love?
Dante's Inferno.
Dante's Inferno.
Oh, that would so be really
that being said,
oh, I like that.
I don't know why so that's I just want,
like a modernization of
big that. Shout out to all those Light Catchers out there and Lights of Broadway. Light Catchers is the name for people who collect those cards.
Hi guys. Wait, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I have a musical called Faustus, and we just changed the title to In the Light.
Really?
And so you said Light Catcher. Light Catcher is a great title for something.
Right? So good.
So I have this musical called Faustus, which there's a couple songs on my album from there. And the producer who took it was like, listen, people are not responding to the title Faustus. You got to change the title. I'm really bad with titles, apparently. Mob Wife and Faustus. And so there's a song in the show called In the Light, and it seems to be the theme of the show. So In the Light is having its first production this fall, which I don't know if I can say where, but it's happening. So follow me on social media to find out. I'm doing a bunch of concerts. I have I'm returning to my hometown. This is the first time I'm talking about it. I'm returning to my hometown of Utica, New York to bring...
This is a broad-waisted exclusive.
I'm returning to my hometown with Jackie Burns from If Then.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And a male to be announced once he confirms. And we're doing
Brian Plofsky.
and Brian
confirmed.
Plofsky.
I'm
yes,
confirmed.
To do a concert of my music in my hometown, and I'll be playing 54 Below on October 15th.
54 Below? So just to let all the listeners out there know, everything that you hear about right now will be posted on our Twitter, our Instagram, and we have a newsletter that's going out to broadwasted@gmail.com. We'll sign you up. You get all the information.
October 15th. He does. I'm very
and
proud of you.
Michael Mott might not be the best with the titles, but as far as the song's concerned, he's really fantastic. All of you should really go on iTunes and get his CD, Where the Sky Ends. It's really fantastic. And if you want to hear some amazing Broadway talent like Jeremy Jordan, Laura Osnes, Sarah Bogus, all of the greats are singing his songs. And it's really a nice blend of what's going on with the contemporary musical theater culture and the contemporary pop culture. So if any of those things appeal to you, which I know anybody who's listening that does, please go to iTunes and look for Where the Sky Ends, the music of Michael Mott. It's really fantastic.
Thank you.
And also, every Wednesday, what are you doing?
Oh, this is
super
so
cool.
If you're in
random.
New York.
I live in Astoria in Queens, New York, and I was offered this the most random job in the world. A mutual friend of ours, Marissa Dargahi, was singing at the Astor Room at Kaufman Astoria Studios, and I went.
Yeah.
They have the largest recording studio on the East Coast. In the basement of Kaufman Astoria Studios.
Really?
They just tracked the new Beauty and the Beast movie downstairs. Like,
oh, watch that trailer, everyone.
Amazing. Tony Bennett, Lady Gaga, Placida Domingo, they all record downstairs. Well, there's a restaurant there where that used to be a commissary for the actors in the 20s.
Oh.
And now they have this incredible place, and they asked me to host a weekly Wednesday night concert. And they said, we'll give you 2 hours, do whatever you want every Wednesday. And I was like, no. And they said, no, really, do it. Long story short, I agreed to do it. And now I host a weekly Wednesday night gig in Astoria.
Well, Michael, we loved having you on.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, my pleasure.
This was so fun.
You're so welcome.
So just to reiterate, follow Michael at Michael_Mott on Twitter and Instagram, michaelmott.net on the website, and Snap at Mott Michael. But we like to end every podcast with a quote from a musical. And this week is Hot Patootie, Bless My Soul, I Really Love That Rock and Roll. Cheers. Aww. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you guys for asking
Where the
me.
Sky yeah. ends on iTunes, make sure to get yes. it, guys.
I'd like to point for out, sure. Kimberly's is the only drink that's empty.
I'm so sorry.
And to end this podcast, as we always do, are you ready, guys?
Yep. Yes.
Zoodoo Bop. They will never learn that.
I don't get it.
It's from Greece. It's at the end of those magic. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Guys, have a great time. See you next week.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.